greet you in Jesus' name. It is a privilege to be here and to look into the Word of God with you. Invite your attention to 1 Peter chapter 1 for the text for the devotional. 1 Peter 1:1. There are many themes that we could draw from Jesus giving his life, but the one that came to me was surrender. Numerous places we read that he said, "I came to do the will of my Father." And as agonizing and as tough and painful as going to the cross was for him, he still had a resignation that said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so as I thought of that, I thought, well, how do I sometimes respond? I like to think that I surrender everything to God as I look at the life of Christ. And yet, as I come back to the Word of God and I see so much of how Jesus gave everything, he laid aside his agenda and said, I'm here to do your will, God. And so that's, as we look at 1 Peter 1, I'd like to begin reading in verse 13 to the end, and like to draw some things out of how we can respond to God because of what Jesus has done. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth, according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So in verse 13, we are encouraged to prepare our minds for action, be another way to say that. Be sober-minded. In other words, don't allow things to fog your thinking, but truly prepare your minds for action. The Christian life is not a life of coasting or cruise. It is a life of pursuit, and that includes our minds. And so I think it's important that we engage our minds with the Word of God, with others. We allow ourselves to be challenged and to be changed. And then 14. Do we realize the cost of following God? At times, I think I forget. I think it's partly our surroundings, because it's not in a sense, a sacrifice, or our lives won't be pursued if we follow Christ, like it is in other countries, where their decision to follow Christ is very clear that if I choose to follow Christ, I leave behind and I recognize what I will be up against. And so even if we've been living for the Lord, if we've given our lives to Him, I believe it is important to continue to come back and say, do I realize what it takes to follow Christ? The cost it means to me personally. And I say, well, you say, why do you say that in light of verse 14? Well, there is the possibility that we would fashion ourselves according to something else other than God. I believe that because of our makeup, the way that God made us, we will surrender our lives to someone. And it is a choice that we make that we surrender to God. I think naturally we surrender to ourselves. And Satan and the world play into that. And they're just ready to say, if you're willing to give into yourselves, they make it easy, so to speak, to give into ourselves. And so we are already surrendering to someone. The question isn't, are you ready to surrender all to God necessarily? It's you're surrendering to someone. Are you willing to surrender everything to God? And then in verse 15, it says that God calls us to be holy. We will fashion ourselves according to someone, but who is it? Are we allowing it the world, the influence of Satan, the society that is influenced by Satan, is what I mean by world, is that going to... Are we going to fashion ourselves according to that? Or are we going to fashion ourselves to God? According to God. Because God is holy. We know that. And I realize that there can be some wrong perspective of what God's holiness is. I believe that it means that He does what is right in every situation. I believe that it means that He is set apart from Satan, from the world. And so I believe in the same way, and in fact, I looked up the word holy, and it is the same word as saint many times in the New Testament. Saint and holy are the same Greek word. Sometimes it's translated saint, and other times it's translated holy. We are called to be saints. We are called to be set apart for God's glory. See, there's sometimes we emphasize you need to be set apart from the world, and that's true. But what are we set apart to? We will not just be, there's not a vacuum here. It is, we are set apart from the world to be set apart unto someone, and that should be God. And just like God is set apart from wickedness, from evil, from sin, He calls us to be set apart from that. Doesn't mean that we distance ourselves from sinners and that we not interact with people of the world. We are in the world, but not of it. As Jesus, that's a paraphrase of what Jesus said in John 17. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That is a scripture that was quoted from the Old Testament numerous times, I believe. So is God's holiness attainable? Well, obviously not of our own strength. But because of what Christ has come, He says we are considered righteous. That as we lay down our sin and recognize our sinfulness and our sin nature, we receive the righteousness of God. So yes, God's holiness is attainable through Jesus Christ and in no one else, not in ourselves. And in verse 17, talks about God's, the Father being the judge. I believe understanding God's judgment will shape how we live our lives while we are here. Recognizing the understanding, I'm going to say, having the understanding of an eternal perspective, that this time here is short, and that someday there will be an accounting that we give. Obviously, you might say, helps us understand that that makes a difference how I live today. Because it isn't about me, and this life isn't what it's really about. Because someday we will all stand before God. And we do not want to stand before him with our own righteousness. We want to receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which he made possible through what we are commemorating today, his death and suffering. Then in verses 18 and 19, it was Christ's blood that paid for our redemption, which is of much more value than silver and gold. I had never made this connection. Why does Peter mention silver and gold? Well, obviously, you know, if you compare blood and silver and gold, well, what are we talking about? But often redemptions in the physical sense, where someone would redeem a slave, it was paid with silver and gold. When Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites, they paid in silver. And so Peter is saying, look, we don't even really, if we were to put a dollar amount on Jesus' death, on his redemption, we couldn't. And so we don't even compare the two, so to speak, because his redemption is so much more valuable. And then verses 20 and 21. We see that redemption was planned before creation. It was foreordained. God knew that Jesus would need to come and to become like one of us, take on human flesh, and come to give his life. And I don't know why it took me so long to see this. I mean, I knew that the sacrificial system pointed to Christ, but all of a sudden this morning I was like, oh, so the redemption was planned. So the sacrificial system was put into place. I knew it was to point to Christ, but it just somehow the picture seemed a little clearer this morning. And we see that faith and hope are important for us. Faith is belief in God, trust in him. And obviously, without hope, we really are miserable. We need hope. We need that something that takes us beyond this life. Because we all know that this life has much sorrow and heartache and frustrations. And so sometimes it feels like the only thing we have to hold on to is hope. And that hope, obviously, is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is in the power of God. Then in verse 22, we see how that purification in our lives, the work of God in our lives to make us holy, to make us saints, brings out a love unfeigned. Purified souls love fervently, I believe. So I believe if you say, well, I just don't have the love for my brothers and sisters or for people that I need, maybe God wants to purify your heart. It says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And then we have 23 through 25. We have the picture of how things fade away, but the word of God will not. The word of God lives and abides forever, it says. And our glory, which we don't have much, but it says our glory is very short-lived. It says the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, falls away. And so let's not put stock in our glory. In the very little glory that we do have, I'm going to say, because elsewhere we would read that we are not to display our glory. We are here to display God's glory. But he's showing us that, look, the word of God and our glory are just, you about don't compare the two, because one lasts forever and the other one is just there for one day, so to speak. It withers, it falls away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. I was just reminded again, it is easy to take for granted how easily we have in our hands the word of God. I have numerous hard copies. I have electronic copies of the word of God, all that I can read in my language. And yet, just recently I was reading in Voice of the Martyrs, there are still people who are longing for the word of God that they can read themselves. So, do I take it too lightly? Do I read it like it is precious? Or is it too commonplace? In closing, I'd just like to challenge you. When Christ came, he gave everything. He gave up, first of all, to come. He gave his place in glory to become like us. And then when he died, he gave his life. And his whole mission while here was about God and about giving him glory. And so, as you receive the emblems today, I trust you will remember the incredible sacrifice that Christ made. Do I take that too lightly? Do you take it too lightly? And recognize, as the song says, demands my soul, my life, my all. Let's bow for prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your love, which was shed abroad, has been shed abroad in our hearts through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of Jesus' life. And Lord, as we commemorate your suffering and death today, Lord, I pray that in a new way or in a fresh way, we would remember that you saw our soul as valuable, and you came and you were willing to give your life for the world, which includes each one of us. Lord, forgive me for the times when I have taken the gift that you've given through of salvation and used it for personal things. God, you want us to surrender ourselves to you and allow our lives to be a living sacrifice following Jesus' example. Pray your further blessing and direction on the service. Pray this through Christ. Amen.